Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths. It is really good to be here with you on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. As we continue to work through the ordinary time of the year, we've been doing a little bit a different thing as we work through some of the United Methodist women that inspire us. And today is no different. Today is the last in this series as we look at Bishop Leontine Kelly. And I'm excited to bring her story to you today. I think next summer I may do Scandalous Women of the Methodist Church. There have been several suggestions that I have found very intriguing. And so that may be what we do next summer, is take a little walk on the wild side with some of our wilder women and the good things that they have done. So I'm excited to get this series wrapped up. I hope that you have enjoyed it just as much as I have, and you've learned a lot about some powerful and different women that have been brought to light. So today, let us come together in a time of worship as we remember the first African-American female bishop in the United Methodist Church. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Today's lesson from the Psalms is from Psalm 15. Hear now the word of the Lord. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us come now together and say those words that many United Methodists and many people of faith over the centuries have said together. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come together today to hear the inspiring story of one of your most faithful disciples, we are thankful for the friends that you bless our lives with to support us and love us and care for us. But most of all, we are thankful for the opportunity to be your friend, to follow your path and your example. Hear us now as we pray the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's gospel lesson comes from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John, verses 5 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The hopeful word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as I share this story of this beautiful and worshipful and mission-minded woman, let us all be inspired by her story, because her story is your story. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Every summer, from the time I was in the second grade until I was in college, I spent at least a week at church camp. It was an intense week of spiritual connection, raucous laughter, and meaningful conversations. It was largely with the same people each year, so we look forward to seeing each other every summer. Camp was filled with people from churches all over the state. We wrote letters throughout the year, remember those, and would briefly see each other every January at Epworth for a long weekend retreat. Unless we were from the same church, we have only spent about 6 months of our lives in the same place. But because of the level of care and connection we had with each other in those precious days, I would choose to drop everything I was doing and help them if they asked. Even now, all these years later, when I need something, some of them are still on my list of people I text. No more letters. I choose them because they know me better than most people. I choose them because our friendship was so strong back in our youth that I know they understand me. I choose them because they choose me. Leahtine Kelly was born into a family of Methodist pastors. She even married one. But it wasn't until later in life, when her husband passed away, that she got the call to ministry. She studied at both Wesley and Union Theological Seminaries and was ordained as an elder in the Virginia Conference. The Virginia Conference is part of the Southeastern jurisdiction. Jurisdictions have not always been a part of our structure. Each region of the country comes together to select and assign their own bishops. The structure was formed in a time of great divisiveness in the Methodist Church, mainly over race. People in the South did not want to have leaders of color, so they decided the best way to do that was to form a group of Southern states or a jurisdiction that would select their own bishops. That way, they would not be forced to take bishops from other, more liberal parts of the country. It is not a part of our history that we have to be proud of. While jurisdictions remain, we see evidence that we have progressed in a lot of ways past those harmful practices with the election and placement of Bishop Robin Dees, our first female bishop of color in Georgia. But make no mistake, there's still a lot of work to do. Bishop Kelly's friends believed in her and her ministry and put her up for consideration in the Southeastern jurisdiction. In 1980, a lot of the old prejudices still persisted, and because she was both Black and female, she was promptly voted out of the running. She and her friends were not deterred. They tried again in 1984, but this time they would not even allow her to go through the process in the Southeast. Her friends and colleagues saw the deep calling and choosing that God had for her as a bishop and went to the Western jurisdiction, where she would have a more equal chance to be heard. Once given a fair chance to go through the process, Leontine Kelly was elected as the first female Black bishop of the United Methodist Church. The support system and the deep connection she had with the people who believed in her was vital to her living out the calling that God had clearly placed on her life. In our scripture lesson today, we see Jesus talking to his disciples. He's giving them advice on what it will be like once he is gone and also what ministry with him will look like. He knows that there will be a lot for them to go through together. Very intense moments of spiritual growth, healing, and I'm sure a lot of laughter. And while everyone else may see them as servants working for a master, he sees them as friends. Ones that will lift him up when things get tough and help him find a way to live out his mission in the world. Jesus was rejected by so many in his ministry, but he knew this group of people, his friends, would be the ones to help him find a way. It's all based on that very important last verse. I'm giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. Love is at the heart of everything Jesus stood for. His existence here on earth, his life and teachings, and his relationships with his closest allies and friends. He chose them for a reason. He chose them for this calling at this time so they could learn and grow in their own calling to ministry. When he said the words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends," they had no way of knowing that he was, in a very short time, going to do exactly that. But not just for his disciples. He did it for all of humanity. But having those allies, those friends, those people who would stand up for him and stand in for him was vital to his own ministry. That is what we are building here at St. Paul Chapel. It is vital to us that we are not just here to worship together, but we mission together and work together and fellowship together and yes, even laugh together. We are all called to this church at this time and place for a reason. God chose us to do this together. We choose to do this together. And it's the friendships that we are building that will last a lifetime for us personally and enable us to do the work that we are being called to do. Bishop Kelly knew that she needed not only to do the work to help others, but that she needed a village of people supporting her work. With her platform as bishop, she was integral in starting African University. She fought for the rights of women and the LGBTQ+ community. One of the things she was most known for was continuing the work and fight of a lot of the women we have talked about through this sermon series. She said, "Women were part of the entourage of Christ. God calls whomever God would call." In her time supporting and fighting for those other women across United Methodism to be considered fairly in ministry and leadership, she knew that every church and every friend group and every group that had encouraged and helped her was better with diversity. It was always better to have men and women, people of all orientations and backgrounds, people of all races to come together and work together than when groups are left out of ministry. Every year at camp, the high school seniors do what most seniors do at school. Their goodbye speeches, yearbooks, dedications, and many tears. My senior year, the quote I used in the camp yearbook was a verse from this passage: "Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends." I built a strong group of friends over my lifetime. Friends that would and have dropped everything to help me in times when I needed them the most. My friend Catherine is 6 days younger than I am, and our parents were in Lamaze class together. We like to say we've been friends since before we were born. I've called on her many times for strength and prayer and help. My friend Christine came back into my life when I moved to Buford and sustained me through my time at Gambler. We are closer now than we ever were at camp. Becky was there when I needed a place to live after a traumatic time in my life, and I count her as a sister and a friend. Jade and Dustin and I are trauma bonded for life at that company that has a lizard as a mascot. We talk every single day. Will, Chris, Jonathan, Scott, and many more gay men in my life were just about the only men I was comfortable with for a long time. They healed my heart in ways that no one else could. And even all of you, in the short time I have been here, have shown me love and kindness as a new full-time pastor that not all pastors receive. You are now part of this tribe of friends that I know I can rely on. Just like Bishop Kelly had her group of friends that saw something beautiful in her and fought for her right to be the leader they knew she needed to be. Just like Jesus surrounded himself with people that went from being people he served with to friends. He shared a deep and meaningful relationship with his disciples, just like he wants to do with all of us. He showed us how to surround ourselves with friends and be the best and the healthiest way to be in ministry together. What a beautiful example and gift he gave us all through the friends that he had. Let us now follow that example as we move from people who came together in a time of hurt to friends who mission together in a time of healing. Amen. Next week, we'll begin the time of opportunity to strengthen the bonds of friendship even further. At this point in the service, you'll be able to join not just the St. Paul Chapel congregation, but become a group of friends that laughs together, worships together, and missions together. It will be a time of renewal and strengthening of our bonds of friendship. It is my hope that you are prayerfully considering that decision and will join us as we build these friendships and ministries together. As we go throughout our week, let us renew friendships, old and find new ones. Let us build those bonds so we can be in ministry and live out the calling that God has for all of us as we support each other in life. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.